From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Julian Marshall, sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. In the 2000 election, 90% of African-American voters chose Al Gore, providing 20% of his overall support. Blacks have been voting overwhelmingly for Democrats since the Civil Rights Movement, making them the party's most loyal constituency. Yet recently, presumptive Democratic nominee John Kerry has been accused of taking blacks for granted. The Bush administration, say critics, has more African-Americans in high-ranking positions than a Kerry administration would, and the senator's six closest advisers are all white. Senator Kerry's campaign has responded by hiring several prominent African-American advisers and emphasizing policies that would benefit minority voters, such as expanded access to college. Tonight on Point, John Kerry and the black vote. We begin in Washington, D.C., where Democratic strategist Donna Brazil recently called on the Kerry campaign to add more minorities to its top ranks. Earlier today, I asked Donna Brazil to describe Senator Kerry's relationship with the African-American community.
I think that Senator Kerry has become well-known over the years as someone who would vote on civil rights issues, judges, matters that African-Americans care about. As Senator Kerry become more known throughout the country, he will become even more appreciated and valued in the African-American community. They know that he's the Democratic nominee. They don't know a lot about his record. He has an opportunity over the next couple of weeks to introduce himself and to find not just good friends, but also strong support from the African-American community.
I mean, voters will inevitably make the comparison between him and previous Democratic Party nominees, Bill Clinton, Al Gore. How does John Kerry stand up to that kind of comparison?
He's different. You know, Bill Clinton and Al Gore are Southerners. People knew them a lot better because of the years that they spent in the vineyards in terms of their relationships with the African-American community. They both come from states with a significant minority population. But that said, John Kerry has picked up broad support from members of the Congressional Black Caucus, from African-American mayors, from leading Democratic officials across the country, and he has an opportunity this fall to get out a strong African-American vote, but he has to plant seeds, and those seeds will be planted over the coming weeks.
So the sense in which Senator Kerry's got to try harder.
Well, he's not known. 40% of the American people still don't know who he is, and among African-American voters, there's a great desire to know a little bit more about his record, his background, his vision for the country, and I believe that once he is better known and he is introduced in the African-American community, he would receive broad support.
In May, you publicly called on Senator Kerry to diversify the top ranks of his campaign. Do you feel that is happening?
They have made many recent hiring changes, including bringing on board former Labor Secretary Alexis Herman, Vernon Jordan, a famous civil rights activist and leader. They've also brought on board many senior-level African-American strategists, and that's a good move. It's time now that they advertise in the African-American community, that they include African-American grassroots leaders, people who will help them get the message out and also help them get out the vote. But I wasn't the first person to call on the Kerry campaign to diversify. They put out a list of senior staffers, and not one was a person of color. Many of us grew alarmed because the Democratic Party has been known in recent years as a party of inclusion, the party of opportunity and equality for all. And so when I saw a list that didn't include anybody of color, it, of course, raised red flags. But now, in addition to having Harold Ford as one of the national co-chairs of the campaign, Stephanie Tubbs Jones, the congressperson from the state of Ohio, as one of the national spokespersons, they have brought on board members of the Congressional Black Caucus to assist them in helping to marshal the resources as well as the support they need in order to win this fall.
Is diversifying the campaign leadership in itself, though, enough?
It's happening at a later date than I would have preferred and many African-American strategists, but it's happening, and I'm pleased that it's finally happening. But if it was up to me, it would have happened 3 months ago, because it would have, at this point, galvanized African-Americans and others to register and get involved in the campaign and play strategic roles, not just part-time roles.
So you think there's possibly an assumption on the part of Senator Kerry's campaign that he can count on the support of African-American voters because they have been such a loyal Democratic voting bloc for the past 40 years?
Look, as an African-American myself, I know for a fact that in order for John Kerry to be viable and to carry states like Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Missouri, Louisiana, Virginia, he needs the black vote. And I would hope that the Kerry campaign reach out as if their battleground strategy depended on having the added support of African-Americans as well as Hispanics, women, and others, and galvanize young people to get involved in the political process. They've been sitting out some of the past elections. If Kerry is able to motivate them, I think we will have a great turnout this fall.
But what else should a candidate do to show the black community he's attuned to their needs?
Well, he's doing it. He's speaking out. He's addressing some of the issues. He must have a platform that's inclusive. And he must aggressively court these voters and ask them for their support. It's not enough to say why the other guy, the other party is bad. We got to say why the Democratic Party can do better and what the Democratic Party will stand for in 2004 and beyond.
I mean, are there issues that are more important to black voters than are, say, to another part of the electorate?
The issues are pretty similar: jobs, economic development, health care, the environment. But when it comes to those issues, African Americans are suffering. There are more than 10% of African Americans are unemployed, one half of black men, it's been reported. 77% of African-American teenagers unemployed. So clearly having a prescription or recipe to get our economy moving again, to fix what ails us in that sector, would increase his likability in the black community. African-Americans, has been shown, have less access to health care. Housing is a major issue. You know, African-Americans want to hear about what Kerry plans to do in terms of the war on terrorism, winning the war on terrorism, but more importantly, not squandering resources in Iraq when perhaps other countries could help us out if we just got them on board to assist us. And again, they're not black issues, they're American issues, but the black community are deeply concerned about the level of jobs that are taking place or leaving the country.
Senator Kerry is expected to announce his vice presidential pick next week. Are you hearing any talk about who he might choose?
No, I have not been involved in the process this year. I had a bird's-eye view in 2000. I think Senator Kerry has done a great job in trying to make this a very professional process to evaluate the candidates and to really select someone that can help him not just govern, but also help him reach out to swing voters, base voters, independents, and others.
But, I mean, as of now, he doesn't appear to be giving any serious consideration to a black candidate to fill that job.
I have not heard of any African-American on a short list or the short list, but I'm sure in the process of coming up with the candidate that he's consulted with a number of African-Americans. I'm not aware of any in particular, but I'm sure that the members of the Black Caucus, Chairman Elijah Cummings of Maryland, has been consulted, as well as perhaps Jim Clyburn of South Carolina and many others.
But in terms of encouraging black support, do any of the names that are currently in the frame give you any hope?
John Edwards, the senator from North Carolina, is strong. He has strong black support. His campaign was led by Harvey Gantt, the former mayor of Charlotte, and someone who ran for the Senate in his own right. Dick Gephardt had the support of members of the Black Caucus in his historic run, again, for president. We've heard the name of Tom Vilsack. He's from Des Moines, Iowa, former mayor of a very small town, and he would have the support of, I believe, the African-American community once they got a chance to know him and his record. They'll support, you know, Wesley Clark if he's the nominee, John Breaux, Mary Landrieu. Of course, those are two senators from the state of Louisiana, where I'm from. And, of course, in the state of Florida, you have two great Democratic senators, Senator Nelson, Senator Graham, that would also make great vice presidential picks. So we'll see what John Kerry, who he comes up with, and we'll back him.
Donna Brazile, many thanks.
Thank you.
Donna Brazile is a Democratic strategist who served as Al Gore's campaign manager in 2000. She spoke to me earlier today from Washington, D.C. We're talking tonight about John Kerry and the black vote. Does he pay enough attention to black issues? Is he taking the black vote for granted? Join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me now in the studio is Kevin Peterson, founder and executive director of New Democracy Coalition, a Boston-based civic policy organization. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you.
Also with me from Silver Spring, Maryland, is Ronald Waters, a professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland, College Park, and a deputy campaign manager for Jesse Jackson's 1984 presidential campaign. Welcome, Ron.
Good to be with you.
Kevin Peterson, could Senator Kerry be doing more, in your opinion, to connect with African-American voters?
He certainly could be doing more. You know, Donna Donna Brazil sort of touched on some key points just in terms of Senator Kennedy diversifying his staff. And he's done well to, in fact, diversify his staff. But there are also issues of policy that he could be responding to that people within the African-American community across the nation are suffering. Donna mentioned that there is, in fact, an education achievement gap. There is a wealth gap. There's a wealth divide among black and white across the country. And Senator Kerry could certainly weigh in on those issues and be and express a number of policies as he's going into the convention and as he begins to campaign as the party's nominee to respond to those issues. Yesterday we celebrated the 40th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act. Next year we will celebrate the 40th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. Senator Kerry or President Kerry could weigh in those issues as he is elected president and respond to the need for a renewed Voting Rights Act 40 years after, it was enacted in 1965. So there are a number of issues, health care, housing, education, and a new civic agenda for the country.
Nora Walters, we've heard of specific issues there, but is there a sense in which Senator Kerry maybe has to try harder because of his political background than, say, Al Gore or Bill Clinton to reach out to African-Americans?
Well, yes. Some of the criticism of the issues is that they're specific, but in another sense, they're too general. Once you've said health care or education, you really haven't said very much, or economic development, or even jobs. The question is, where are these things going to happen? How are they going to happen? Who will they impact? I mean, these are the specificities that are really left out of that discussion. And so it's interesting because I think Kerry, or maybe even his campaign managers, feel that once they've invoked these public policy issues, domestic policy issues, that they've covered the bases, but they really haven't. Early in the year, there were presidential debates in places like Florida. Well, I remember one that was sponsored in Detroit, that was sponsored by the Congressional Black Caucus. This was supposed to be a presidential debate based upon urban issues, quote-unquote. And yet, when the debate was over and all of the Democratic presidential candidates left, there was severe criticism by the mayor of the city because they really didn't hit the mark. So I think there needs to be a learning curve here with respect to what is a specific issue and which, you know, one of the populations is affected by it, because not all of the various constituencies of the Democratic Party are affected the same by these groups, by these issues.
Okay, Kevin Peterson, what then specifically? You've talked in very general terms about what you'd like to see, but in very specific terms.
Well,
I
wouldn't want to speak for the entire nation of African Americans, but for example, there are more black men in prison than there are in college, according to the Justice Policy Institute. There should be some policy specific responses from the senator's campaign as he goes around the country wishing to be president. He should speak directly to that issue, for example, the whole disparity around hiring and employment, the wealth gap. Those are specific issues to which Senator Kerry can answer to the African-American community in terms of discrete strategies. And we haven't heard that. So I think as Senator Kerry's staff is diversifying, that there should be some policy-specific strategies directed on those array of issues.
Kevin Peterson, do stay with us. And you too, Ronald Walters. We're talking tonight about John Kerry's relationship with the African-American community. Is he doing enough for blacks? Can he afford to take African-American voters for granted? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Julian Marshall, sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. This is On Point. I'm Julian Marshall, sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about John Kerry and the black vote. Al Gore and Bill Clinton were both known for their good rapports with the black community. Can John Kerry measure up? Does he have to? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're talking to Ron Walters, Professor of Government and Politics at the University of Maryland and author of White Nationalism, Black Interest, Conservative Public Policy and the Black Community. Also with us is Kevin Peterson, Executive Director of the New Democracy Coalition. And joining us now is Congressman Gregory Meeks, a Democrat from New York City and a frequent advisor to Senator John Kerry. Welcome, Congressman.
Thank you. Good being with you.
Why do you think Senator Kerry seems to be coming to this whole business of connecting with African-American voters so late in the campaign?
Well, you say it's late in the campaign. I don't know if it's late in the campaign or not. What has happened is, in the whole Democratic process, when you talked about we've had a convention, a nomination procedure, rather, primary season that earlier than ever before in the Democratic history. And during that, there was a number of African Americans that were divided with whichever candidate they supported. I, Harold Ford Jr., Juanita Milner McDonald, Donna Christian Christensen, we were with John Kerry early on. We had a number of members from the Congressional Black Caucus, for example, with various other candidates, Gephardt and Senator Edwards. And so we were all divided at that particular time. And there was individuals who were choosing which camp they wanted to be in at that particular time. Once Senator Kerry became the presumptive nominee, then what he's been doing and is continuing to do is talking to individuals and bringing individuals into the campaign in significant roles to have significant impact to give an indication of what kind of president he would be, but most importantly, to make sure that the campaign is diversified and have the ideas of a whole host of different individuals.
I mean, you often help to advise Senator Kerry on his campaign. What's the sort of issues with respect to the African community do you speak to him about?
Well, there's a whole cadre of issues. I mean, of course, when you're talking about African-American issues, you can go anywhere from the underdevelopment of communities as far as economic development and the need therein. You could talk about, for example, in New York, we talk about the fact that 51% of African-American males are unemployed, and we've got to talk about how we're going to address that issue. And I think that if you look at other major cities, you could talk about disparities in regards to individuals with health care. There's clearly the disparities there.
So you talk, Congressman, but does Senator Kerry listen?
Yeah, I think that there's no question that he listens and will be a great president to deal with those particular issues. I think that as we move on in this campaign, you'll see that there's others, there's experts within the respective field that's coming on. I know that he's listening, for example, when you talk about an urban agenda. There's no better people to listen to in regards to an urban agenda than black mayors. And I know he's sitting down and talking to black mayors so that he can make sure that when the urban agenda he devises, it fits within their scheme because they're the ones that will have to be developing the economic development or the urban agenda of their respective cities. And I know that he's sitting and talking and working with them, and that will be a part of how he will govern as president of the United States.
Ron Walters, what's the record of influential African-American policymakers actually being able to shape the policies of a candidate?
Well, it's really mixed. And I say it's mixed because even if you look at the administration of Bill Clinton, here you had the largest number of African-Americans in the White House and in cabinet positions and sub-cabinet positions in the history of the United States. And yet they were not able to do much about the crime bill. The omnibus crime bill is a major contributor to the fact that nearly 50% of everybody who is locked up in America today is black. The same thing with respect to welfare reform. We have a policy, one of the most immoral policies in the world, that our poor citizens and the richest nation in the world can only get support for 5 years. We haven't told that to major corporations. And so in a period of downturn that we've been suffering lately, the fact is that there are millions of blacks and others who are going to hit this five-year wall. And the question is, what will happen to them? What I'm saying is that our African-American policy experts in that administration didn't have much of a role, actually, in stopping that. Now, there are a couple of places where they were successful. One happened to be affirmative action. I remember participating in a number of discussions with the White House about affirmative action. People like Chris Edley were very much a part of that discussion, some members of the caucus and others. Small Business Administration, there, so we had a robust discussion that I think saved some aspects of it, but in the end weakened minority business access. So the record is mixed if you're looking at the record of just the last 8 years.
Congressman Meeks, you, though, are convinced that you and other African-American politicians could make a difference with Senator Kerry.
Yeah, but let me add on, because I don't necessarily disagree with Brother Walters on that, because the other part of it that we've got to remember is the other part, the legislative branch of government. And part of the problem when you have, the Republican-led House and have Republicans lead the Senate, that becomes a tremendous problem. In my 6 years being in Congress, some of that with the Clinton administration, you know, there are some things I know that we've talked about that you can't get through because of the makeup of the House and or of the Senate. And so to a degree, I think you have to have a broad approach. Yes, we need someone that's advocating within the administration. We need individuals who are secretaries who are trying to move policy in the right direction. But we've got to have an atmosphere within the House and the Senate who's also receptive and can at times put pressure on the administration to make it do what we feel that should be the right thing. And I think with those combinations, and then still need the pressure from the outside, from the streets, to put pressure on those of us who happen to be elected in the House. I think there's a combination of things. It's not any one thing that's going to resolve our issues with regards to policy. But I think all of it can help. And I think John Kerry is going to do his fair share as President of the United States.
Congressman Gregory Meeks, a Democrat from New York City and a frequent advisor to Senator John Kerry, thanks for being with us this hour. Let's hear from Marcia. She's calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Marcia?
Hello.
What would you like to say?
Well, you know, I called in to say one thing, and now listening to this conversation, it's the reason why I'm so disheartened. I mean, I'm an independent voter, but when I listen to the low expectations of the folks that you're having this conversation with, I mean, even the discussion around the fact that people are talking, well, we'll make policies and people of color need are suffering and so on, that particular, set of issues, it does not represent all African-American people. I'm a business owner. I'm really interested in how African-American businesses are going to be supported in an economic downturn. One of the biggest things affecting my business is healthcare costs. I mean, and I don't hear any real discussion about those kinds of issues. It's not solely focused on whether or not people are in jail or are on welfare. That's insulting.
Okay. As I understand it, you're an independent voter. You haven't voted for a Democrat in the past couple elections. Might you be tempted to vote for the Republicans?
The last election, I was pretty disgusted with Al Gore because of his position around around Clinton and the foolishness that went on in the White House. So I was just exhausted with that whole thing and the thought of another 4 years of turmoil with women in dresses. I just couldn't deal with that. So I didn't vote for Al Gore. But for me to vote for a Democrat, I want to see a solid agenda put forward that's going to answer the issues of African-Americans. And the fact that Kerry doesn't even have one yet is disgraceful.
Can I just put that to you, Kevin Peterson, that the preoccupations of African-Americans aren't just education, welfare, jobs. We've got a businesswoman calling in there. She wants to see policies framed to help her and others.
And I think that's a very, very good point. And I think to the extent that Senator Kerry advances policies that support a strong economy, that responds to issues of those who are in the middle class, who are prospering or positioned to prosper. I'm speaking to issues of black people, millions of whom suffer and who are engaged in social and economic and political misery. I think the Democratic Party ought to be loyal to that constituency, which has in fact been loyal to the Democratic Party.
So I am somewhat sympathetic around the middle class and the black middle class, to some extent has expanded since the civil rights era. They're fine. There are millions of African Americans who are on the margins, who suffer for AIDS, who are imprisoned, who are on welfare, as Professor Walters has mentioned, to which the Democratic Party needs to be responsive and responsible for in terms of discrete policies. And quite frankly, Senator Kerry hasn't advanced them. The Republican Party hasn't advanced any significant ones. And someone needs to step to the plate, to the fore, and respond to suffering African Americans and poor people across the nation.
Professor Walters, that point that Marsha made to us, namely that the Democrats should have a broader agenda with respect to the African American community, one that also includes the concerns of business people.
Well, the Democratic Party has had a broader agenda. It has dealt with a whole series. Matter of fact, in the Clinton administration, one of the most popular programs at the very end of the administration that Clinton championed was one that was picked up from Reverend Jesse Jackson, and that was turned out to be something called the New Markets Initiative. And that one also had the support of J.C. Watt, who at that time was the only black Republican in the House. This was a program to do what for the inner cities, what America does for American corporations abroad. Through something called the Overseas Private Investment Corporation. The United States gives seed money to corporations to invest abroad through OPIC. Now, we took that idea, the OPIC idea, and said, well, why don't we do that in some of these depressed communities? That turned out to be the new market idea, except that the money wasn't there. What they did was instead turn that into a tax abatement idea. So that you would give businesses special tax breaks to come into the inner city and do business. Well, that is not always going to be that successful unless the other conditions are there to attract business people. That was a pregnant idea, and I would hope that a Kerry would pick up on an idea like that, because those are the kind of ideas that have an impact not only on small black business people, but also through the job that they create have an impact on the economic development of all classes of blacks.
We're talking tonight about John Kerry's relationship with the African-American community. Is he doing enough for blacks? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. Kevin Peterson, as African-Americans look out, they look out at Senator Kerry and see what he has to offer. Is there much temptation, do you think, to head towards the Republicans?
Well, I think there are opportunities for the African American electorate to look to Bush. Bush has President Bush has offered several olive branches in terms of the faith-based initiative, which provides resources to nonprofit organizations, particularly the black churches across the country. That's been of interest to black leadership to a certain degree. And then there is the AIDS in Africa initiative. He's appointed prominent African Americans to his staff. His staff is more diverse in terms of African Americans, I believe, at least on the cabinet level. And certainly on the international foreign policy level than, in fact, Clinton's was. So there are some opportunities for blacks to look and to begin to pragmatically sort of read what Bush has to offer as opposed to what Senator Kerry may offer. So, you know, if I'm an African-American and I'm being strategic and pragmatic about what my choices are, and I look at what's on the table in terms of what Bush has put there as opposed to what Kerry currently has on the table, I'll be tempted to look at what's on the agenda for Bush and go through a very sober and pragmatic decision around how the African American community would prosper under Bush or Kerry. And right now it's not clear. I think Kerry historically has proven to be a person who would be sympathetic to black issues, but it's not clear at this point.
Professor Walters, if Senator Kerry is going to shape a campaign that takes the African-American community to heart. Has he got a tread likely, do you think, on such issues as gay marriage, for instance?
Yes, I do think that he has to do that, but not so much for the African-American community, but for his overall viability. He's gotten into some trouble with the Catholic Church on that score, and there is now some tension between him and the church. As a matter of fact, he's Catholic on that. I think that the black community is largely not a Catholic community, and so he doesn't get into so much trouble because of that. Neither, I think, does he get into so much trouble because of the issue of gays in the black community, because gays, of course, are an integral part of the community. They understand its dynamics. There's a feeling that they have been marginalized politically, but that's true across the gay community, regardless of race or ethnicity. So I don't think that particular issue, and I think that there's been some effort in the black community not to make it this central issue, because there are other issues that are far more pressing.
I mean, I was just wondering whether the Republicans, in maybe appealing to conservatism with a small C within the African-American community, are making inroads. That's certainly what Mr. Peterson seems to
be. I don't think so. The Republicans have not made much of an inroad into the black community in general. When you look at the last election, George Bush only polled 9%, and that was high. I would imagine that in the coming race, if he's able to poll 6% of the black vote right now, given the way in which blacks are responding to him in the polls, that'll be something short of a miracle.
Kevin Peterson, when African-Americans go to the polls in November, what's your sense at the moment? Will it be a vote for Senator Kerry, or will it be a vote against President Bush?
You know, I think historically the trends will be similar as they for the African-American community, as they've been in the past. I think the overwhelming majority of African-Americans will vote Democratic. Kerry's issue, I think, is identifying those issues that will mobilize the African-American community to come out and vote Democratic in a race which is going to be very close. And if Kerry is interested in winning this race, he would do well to again, identify key issues that will mobilize African-Americans across the nation and pull out the vote for Kerry in November.
Let me say something about why I think that's important, because you're absolutely right. If you look at the latest Ogbe poll, this is a close election. 16 of the battleground states, in those states, 12 of them are within the margin of error, which means that this is going to be very close. If you throw a Nader into that picture, it could certainly change the dynamics. Most people know that in the last election, he polled 6% of the vote and cost Al Gore the election in a couple of states.
Ron Walters, let's expand on that in a moment. Do stay with us, and you too, Kevin Peterson. We're discussing John Kerry and the black vote. Is Senator Kerry taking the black vote for granted? Will African-American turnout make the difference for Kerry in November? And if blacks won't turn out for John Kerry, will they vote against George Bush? This is On Point. I'm Julian Marshall, sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about Senator Kerry's relationship with the African-American community. Do you think Senator Kerry has done enough for blacks? Would you like to see more African-Americans on his campaign? Do you know where he stands on key black issues like affirmative action? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're talking to Ronald Walters, Professor of Government and Politics at the University of Maryland College Park, and with Kevin Peterson, Executive Director of New Democracy Coalition in Boston. And let's take a call from Mudafa in Boston, Massachusetts. And what would you want to say, Mudafa?
Hello?
Yes, hi. I'm with you. What would you like to say?
I will try to be as brief as I can. My point is, black movement came into an emerge with Martin Luther King to represent a power for push for human rights and human dignity in the United States and even abroad. John Kerry's record, I'm not sure about it that much, but his latest statement in support of the wall in Palestine, the Sharonian strategy of building the wall, which most of the world criticizes it as against human rights or Palestinian rights, I wonder if black people could emerge as a power to first affect the election of getting more into other people's rights as a leader in the human rights movement.
Okay, let me just go to Ronald Walters on that one and perhaps phrase it somewhat differently, and maybe the impact of foreign policy in the kinds of decision African-American voters make.
Well, the impact of foreign policy, of course, is important, but it's not going to be the singular thing this time unless you're talking about the war. The aspect of it that he brought in, of course, is not going to be, I think, the deciding point, although I should say that in my contacts with people like Jim Zogby of the Arab American Institute here in Washington, D.C., there's tremendous dissatisfaction with John Kerry's position in that respect. And I would imagine that Jim didn't get that just from his own analysis. He got that from his wide contacts in the Arab American community. There has been some analysis of the Arab vote in the United States fairly recently, and then, while it's not much of a factor, in a few states like Michigan, it could play a swing role. So that is an important point that he's making, except that it doesn't have general electoral effect.
Okay, Stanley's calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Stanley, good evening. What would you like to say?
Hello. I was just wondering, has Kerry talked at all about what his plans are should we have a situation like we had in the last election where numerous black Americans were disenfranchised or lost their vote in Florida?
Kevin Peterson?
If he has, he hasn't been vocal or clear about it. And, you know, this raises concern and provides actually the opportunity for Senator Kerry to weigh in on this issue. Again, we will celebrate the 40th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act next year. There is an opportunity for Kerry to push for a campaign plank, a convention plank on the platform, this convention, that supports the renewal of the Voting Rights Act, which would support rights for people at the polls, but also would be in support of something like same-day voter registration, which disproportionately helps blacks and Latinos in election days in terms of being engaged in the process. He could support a new Voting Rights Act that would include national civic standards for all public and private high school students across the country. These things would strengthen and support democracy more broadly and respond to some of the issues that, in fact, we saw in Florida in 2000.
Ronald Walters, is that perceived disenfranchisement in Florida in 2000? Do you think something that still rankles with African-American voters is something that Senator Kerry should indeed dwell upon?
Well, yes. I'm just back from Reverend Jackson's annual conference in Chicago, Rainbow Push Conference. And there were thousands of people there. And we had a summit of African-American leaders that I participated in. And, of course, as you know, John Kerry spoke there on Wednesday. There was a lot of concern about Florida and election protection and election reform and how it's going to work in Florida. And he did make some statements about the fact that his campaign would be sensitive and also cautious and poised to deal with the situation in Florida, I think more effectively than the Al Gore campaign was. So I think they're attuned to it. They're poised to deal with it. But I think that still some of the specific things that Kevin has said were not mentioned, and I think that a lot more could be done.
So you would expect, would you, or would hope, rather, in the coming weeks, coming months, that Senator Kerry would be vocalizing those concerns to a broader African-American audience?
Yes, because in the last election cycle, there were 2 million votes thrown out. 40% of those votes were African-American votes. And so we have a tremendous stake in making sure that someone like John Kerry takes this seriously. Insofar as the election methodology in places like Florida and in other states, 100,000 votes were thrown out in Cook County alone. Insofar as the election methodology is neutral and fair, it means that hundreds of thousands of more African-Americans will be empowered.
Kevin Peterson, do you think, though, that this now brings into play a whole broader issue, namely that African Americans must be persuaded by the Democrats not only to vote, but also be persuaded that their vote does count, will count.
Absolutely. The Democratic Party, as again, is poised, in fact, to do that. They're positioned to do that, given the relationship that they've had with the African American community for 40 years now. So that can happen. That should happen. The proof is in the tasting of the pudding, as they say, and we'll see if Kerry will make that happen.
Okay, well, joining us rather later than expected from Washington is Marcus Jadot, Deputy Campaign Manager for John Kerry for President. Welcome, Marcus.
Thank you.
Now, we've heard a lot of advice for Senator Kerry this past hour on how he should better connect with African American voters, what he needs to do to be able to get them out to the polls in November and vote for him. What can we expect to see from him in the coming weeks, in the coming months, to convince African American voters that he deserves their vote?
I think you and the rest of the country can expect to see a very aggressive program speaking directly to the African American community about issues that we care about. Restoring jobs in the community for the first time in more than a decade, we're now faced with double-digit unemployment. Restoring a education system that we can entrust our kids to. And frankly, opening access to health care insurance and health care in a way that we have all heard about and all been talking about for the last couple of decades, but haven't made any progress on. So,
I mean, we've heard a lot in this past hour about those general concerns and what are the general responses of Senator Kerry, but African-American voters looking for something more specific, Marcus Jadot.
Well, African-American voters are looking for very specific programs, and that is what John Kerry has put on the table, very specific programs to address very specific concerns.
Well, the issue,
in
I think,
the abstract, these concerns are general.
Kevin Peterson, just make a quick point.
Well, I think the issue is really being clear and moving beyond the platitudes around some of these issues. For example, on the issue of education, if John Kerry was more specific about it, he could support Jesse Jackson's move to make public education a constitutional right, or grapple with that issue and talk in very specific, very clear terms around how to support African Americans who suffer as they are matriculating through the public education system across the nation.
Let's just give the final word to Marcus Jadot and just ascertain that Senator Kerry does take the African American vote seriously and realizes how crucial it is going to be for his success, if that is what it is to be in November.
Well, the senator takes the African American vote very seriously, and he understands that in order to win this election, he is going to need historic level turnout in the African American community. And we're going to be very aggressive about engaging the community and going directly in the community and asking African Americans to support this campaign and to support a movement across the country to restore sound leadership in the White House.
Marcus Jadot, many thanks for being with us. Marcus Jadot, Deputy Campaign Manager for John Kerry for President. Thanks to you also, Kevin Peterson, Executive Director of New Democracy Coalition in Boston, and Ronald Walters, Professor of Government and Politics at the University of Maryland, College Park. You can join the conversation online. Go to onepointradio.org and click on forums. In a moment, to look ahead to tomorrow's start of the Tour de France, this is On Point. Tomorrow, American cyclist Lance Armstrong will make his bid for his sixth straight Tour de France win. Only four others have won five Tour de France. No one has managed to win the elusive six. Last year, Armstrong cemented his place in tour history when he won a crucial mountain stage, even after taking a fall when he clipped a spectator on the final ascent. But Armstrong recovered and accelerated to the front of the pack, to the excitement of spectators and commentators.
Again, he's accelerating again, Phil. This is amazing. This man has been on the ground. He almost lost his manhood on that crossbars a few moments ago, and he's decided he wants to go.
9 kilometres to go to the summit. The leader is just on 7.5 kilometres from the summit. Don't forget, Sylvain Chavanel is doing the ride of his life.
This year, Lance Armstrong is fighting against doping allegations and naysayers who believe that the 32-year-old has passed his prime. But while he shrugs off being called a legend, he insists that he is ready to ride into cycling history. Journalist John Wilkerson has covered every Tour de France since 1968. In this radio diary, he reflects on what it means to win the Tour and what it'll mean if Lance Armstrong wins again in 2004.
The Tour, it's a very difficult race to win. It's not something you can really plan on doing in your career. For most people who ever win the Tour, and very few people have won the Tour, it takes probably a dozen years, 15 years of your life before you can really aspire to winning it. And on a bike, you've got to ride probably 6-7 hours a day in training every day just to be at the level of fitness you need to be to win it. And that takes very special type of person. Watching Lance Armstrong in the flesh, as it were, at the Tour, you feel that he has utter confidence in himself. He's a person who will never say, I can't do that. He said, I can do that. As we saw last year when he crashed and he got up and he went on and won a mountain top finish in the Pyrenees and extended his lead from a few seconds to a minute in the Tour, and that minute was good enough to win him the Tour. But it's his style. There's nothing quite like. He's very unlike any of the previous Tour de France winners. The Europeans who won the five Tours, they were much more athletes, just pure athletes who had this talent for cycling, whereas Lance, he's adapted his physical abilities to cycling just from sheer power of character, his dedication. The director of the Tour de France, Jean-Marie Leblanc, a Frenchman who has seen all the previous five winners, he says that Lance is the most professional cyclist he has ever seen in terms of his training and his scientific approach to everything that it takes to win the Tour. Tour de France, in some ways, has become the Tour de Lance because he is the person with the huge personality that dominates the Tour. The Tour de France, in many ways, today, anyway, this year, and the last 5 years, has been the Tour de Lance.
Journalist John Wilkerson spoke to us from Liège, Belgium, where the 2004 Tour de France begins tomorrow. His forthcoming book is the 2003 Tour de France, 100th Anniversary Tour. On Point is produced by Meghna Chakrabarty, Julie Jopp, Eileen Amada, Jane Manners, Tamar Morad, Chris O'Connor, John Roberts, James Ross, and Karen Schiffman, with help from Michael Garth and Tim Skoog. Our senior producer is Graham Griffith. I'm Julian Marshall, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.